Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 11 through 31, God's description of the Babylonian invasion to elicit repentance. Though God's infinite righteousness demands that he punish those who refuse to repent, the Lord takes no delight in administering his judgment. He much prefers to express his compassion and mercy. I'm reminded of Exodus 25 and 6, where the Lord mentioned as he was giving the Ten Commandments, he said, I put my judgment on those who refuse me to the second and third generation, but I show my loyalty and love and compassion to those to the thousands, and that would be the thousandth generation. So God, even in the Old Testament, you know, clarified, he much prefers to be compassionate. For this reason, God had the Old Testament prophets give so much of their writings to warning of God's discipline. I know as I was growing up, I would read, you know, Jeremiah and Isaiah, and there's so much of those books are dealing with all this negative judgment. And I kind of wondered, you know, does God, you know, like to dwell on it? No, he doesn't. The reason there's so much judgment is because God was warning. He didn't want to have to administer his judgment. He just doesn't. In fact, the Bible tells us in one of the verses, God takes no delight in the destruction of the wicked. God created people in his image because he wants them to be in his image and to be righteous. He doesn't like to destroy his own creation. So this thrust of God's warning is evident in Jeremiah 4, 11 to 31, and we view it for our insight and edification. I want to read the verses first, and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah chapter 4, beginning at verse 11 and going to the end of the chapter. At that time shall it be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of my people, not to fan, that means not to willow, nor to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come unto me. Now also I will give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up, that he is speaking of Babylon, shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe to us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For voice declareth from Dan, and publisheth affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country, and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish, or the insensitive children. They have none understanding. They have wives to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form, and void in the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it. I have purposed it, and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and the bowmen. They shall go into thickets and climb up upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee, they will seek thy life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, in the anguish of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself and spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. Okay, very graphic description of the judgment of God. First, the Lord himself described the coming invasion of Babylon, urging Judah to repent, likening the invading Babylonians to the dry, hot Sirocco wind that blew in from the desert, a wind too strong for winnowing and too dry for the good of the Israel's crops. God warned of this judgment. When I was growing up in Nigeria, we had what was known as the Harmattan. It came down from the Sahara Desert in the north. In Israel, it's the Sirocco, comes in from the east. And it's a dry wind, and it parches your throat. It actually can split, it seems. And you just drink water, and you can't get enough. And the sky is like, it's hazy. It's because of the dust from the desert, and it's very high. It's thousands of feet high. And it's just dry. It dries everything up. The plants suffer under it, too. Well, that's what the Babylonians were like, this Sirocco wind that was going to be coming in. The Lord then provided Jeremiah a prophetic vision of the invaders coming on like an approaching storm cloud, their chariots driving like the whirlwind, their horses swifter than eagles, a sight so terrifying that Jeremiah himself responded to the vision by saying, woe to us, for we are ruined. The dear prophet of God is seeing this vision, and of course it's an actual, it's like a video of what actually is going to be happening. And he sees these soldiers coming, and they're coming to fight, they're coming to kill. And they're very fierce, and it's terrifying. So to get his people to repent, the Lord then urged Jerusalem to wash her heart from evil that she might be saved, and asked, how long shall your wicked thoughts lodge within you? So he has this kind of video is going on, and Jeremiah is seeing all this. God interjects and speaks and asks the people how long. And of course, Jeremiah, he goes to the people and urges them to repent, but it's just like a message that falls on deaf ears. Well, as the invaders made their way in God's prophetic vision to Jeremiah, coming down from the north toward Judah, a voice from the northern Israel in Dan, and then again from Ephraim halfway through the land, warned of the invaders. See, as the invaders come, they hit Dan first, and then they come down to Ephraim. They're getting closer and closer. And that's what the picture is. The invaders are getting closer. And they shout against Judah's cities and come at them from all, since they have rebelled against all around. They've rebelled against God, a description that was the warning of the Lord himself. And God added that Judah's ways and deeds will have brought her to this judgment, that it was her doom, a bitter one that reached to her very heart to terrify and to cause her to be dismayed. Well, Jeremiah reacted to this vision from the Lord, expressing his personal grave concerns in verses 19 to 31. Continuing with God's claim that the invasion will have terrified Judah's heart, Jeremiah repeatedly expressed his own anguish of heart, his pain, the wild beating of his heart that he could not keep silent. For the sound of the alarm of the trumpet, followed by sounds of crashings and battle conflict, where the whole land is laid waste by the noise of the conflict, and the vision was too much for Jeremiah to bear. You know, this is amazing. Jeremiah is actually seeing events that are going to happen. And that's why it's so terrifying, because this isn't just some movie, you know, he's watching about, you know, something that happened back in the Civil War. So these events are going to happen, and he sees this. God interjected this prophetic vision to Jeremiah 4:22 to give his evaluation of the people he was punishing, claiming they were foolish, they did not know him, they were senseless children with no understanding, having a wisdom only to do what was evil while not even knowing how to do good. You know, it's tragic, but sometimes sin gets to the point but that the only wise thing, in a practical sense, people know how to do is the evil. But that which is good, they have no comprehension of what is good. And this is what was happening to Judah. They got to the point where they were wise in figuring out and finagling how they could do bad. But they didn't know even what good was. They were that calloused. So Jeremiah describes the events of the invasion as being so catastrophic, it reminded him of the original state of the world before God created the creation that we have. The earth would be formless and empty. Actually, the words that are used in Genesis 1 are tohu vabohu, formless and empty, and Jeremiah uses them here. The earth would seem formless and empty, the heavens without light, the mountains quaking, the birds of the air fleeing, the fruitful land left desolate, all the cities of Judah laid in ruins by the wrath of God expressed through the Gentile invaders from Babylon. When you would look out over the countryside, it would look like a bomb had leveled everything. It was just houses, cities crushed, broken down. The Babylonians didn't want them to living out there anymore. They wanted life difficult, and so they just crashed everything down. And they stripped. And the people, of course, had left the countryside. They were in the cities trying to protect themselves from the invaders. But eventually, the invaders would get into the cities themselves. Well, lest someone think that God would utterly destroy the land of Israel, the Lord predicted the land would be a desolation, but that he would not completely annihilate it. Nevertheless, the land would mourn because of God's judgment upon his people. Well, as the Babylonian invaders approached the countryside, people in every town would flee for their lives, hiding in the thickets and among the rocks out on the countryside, while those in Jerusalem would dress in fine clothes and jewels and paint their eyes to appear like harlots to allure the Babylonians away from attacking the city. But the invaders would only come at them this time to destroy them. In other words, things would get so desperate, they would try anything that they could to keep them from destroying the city. But this time, the Babylonians, they had an attitude, and they came right at the city. Indeed, the people would cry out in agony as a woman in labor, stretching forth their hands for help in vain as their murderers in the form of cruel Babylonian soldiers would only attack and kill. I saw a photograph one time. This is in an archaeological magazine. They had unearthed one of the towns in Israel at this time. And there was the skeletal remains of a woman who had been killed, and they knew that the way she had been killed by a Babylonian club. They had war clubs, club people over the head. And she had gotten cornered. There were two walls that met, and she'd gotten cornered in the corner. And in terror, she had shrunk down, and she put her hands up over her head like this. And the Babylonian soldier had taken the war club and actually crushed the skull. You can see the fragments of the skull had just shattered here, and her hand was right there. But here was a woman who had died, and much like the cry here is talking about like a woman in labor and so forth. And I remember seeing that photograph thinking, ooh, I can't imagine what these people went through. But this was the judgment of God. He had waited and waited. These people were involved in sin and sin, and finally the judgment fell. So, in frightening imagery, God presented the trauma of his judgment in the invading Babylonian. And giving this horrific description together with appeals for his people to repent that this judgment might not come upon them. So, may we always recall our inescapable accountability to the Lord, that we revere him so as to repent and depart from sin to escape his discipline. God is completely, what shall I say, unbiased. He doesn't respect persons. And he can level his judgment at absolutely anybody. You know, if we get to the point where we rebel to such an extent that God decides he must judge us, he will level his discipline. So we need to revere the Lord. He's a wonderful Lord. He loves us, but his righteousness demands that he has to punish judgment. He has to punish sin. Now, if God calls us to herald his truth to sinners in need, may we, like Jeremiah, have a heart of compassion for the sinful to urge them to get right with the Lord. You know, when we get a picture of the judgment of God and the wrath of God that is going to come, it causes us to have a heart of compassion even towards people who are very sinful and very wicked. And so what we need to do is to reach out to them for the Lord. Many years ago, there was a man who I never forget him. He was a pastor. He had one arm. I think he was born with one arm missing. And he would sing, and the song that he would often sing was a song that talked about how the people in the Great Tribulation would cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. And he would get to that point, he would actually shout this out with enormous intensity. And I remember asking my mom one day, why does this man sing this song so much? And why is he so intense when he gets to that part? She said, well, son, let me tell you something. One day he went to visit a family in a house, and he knocked on the door, and the woman and the husband of the family didn't come to the door, but a person that he'd never met came to the door, and the person wouldn't let him in, and he didn't know why. And so he left. Well, come to find out, that person was in the process of murdering the family when he came to the door. He didn't know it. That happened not once, that happened twice in his ministry. Different families. And this man was, he never got over the shock of that. He never got over, you know, what might have happened if I had sensed something or, you know. But realizing the judgment that is going to come on people who commit atrocities like this, this is why he would sing this song. And I never forgot when this man would sing. I was a teenager at the time. It shook me up every time. But this man was entering into this because he realized the judgment of God was going to have to fall on people like that. And he would essentially beg people through his singing to repent, to get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the attitude that Jeremiah had. And this is the attitude that God wants us to have. Real concern for people that they come to know the Lord, and for sinners that they come to believe in him, that they might be saved.